The network Showtime debuts today the documentary Basketball County in the Water. It's the latest in a run of sports documentaries to keep fans occupied since most live sports competitions are on hold. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to discuss upcoming sports documentaries and the era without sports. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
Okay, so I joke that for the last few weeks, my husband has had ESPN on all the time just in case some miracle happens and sports pops up on the screen somehow.
A hockey game breaks out somewhere.
Exactly. But these documentaries have certainly helped. So let's talk a little bit about this newest one, Basketball County. It's about Prince George's County, Maryland, just outside of D.C. Let's listen.
The county definitely gives you a tough edge, fighting to hold your spot, being able to stay on the court with a bunch of grown men and holding your own. I mean, everybody will say that's everywhere. For us, we live by that.
So that was NBA player Jeff Green, who grew up in PG County. And NBA star Kevin Durant is also from there. He's the executive producer on this film. Does this doc make a compelling case for Prince George's County? I never knew this as a basketball mecca.
I know. Something like 30 NBA players have come from this county, and numerous WNBA players. And what the sense that you get from watching this documentary is there has to be a system that kind of arises to help groom these athletes so that they can excel. Mm. This documentary shows that the first black man to teach physical education in the nation helped establish a basketball program in Prince George's County.
Really?
Yeah. And so he landed on this idea of encouraging young black males to learn basketball and to use the sport as a way to find discipline in their lives, and also use the sport as a way to have new opportunities in society.
Hmm.
And one of the things they talk about is that if you're a young person from that area and you sort of get involved with playing basketball on the courts in that county, you very quickly find yourself having to compete against people who are much older and more experienced than you, and it forces you to get good really quickly. It's an interesting doc. I think you kind of have to be interested in basketball to really watch it,
Yeah. But
it does sort of explain how a local community can sort of, without really trying, like develop this whole system that produces these amazing players and encourages them and gives them opportunities to become professionals in the sport.
Yeah, interesting. It sounds like something I might want to watch for sure.
Yeah.
Well, ESPN aired the docuseries The Last Dance about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, but ESPN has more documentaries in this style coming up. What's next?
So ESPN realized that The Last Dance was such a ratings hit and that its audience was sort of starved for stories about sports. So they decided to take three documentaries that they developed for their 30 for 30 documentary series and air them after The Last Dance in the same Sunday time slot. And the first one is Lance, and it's a documentary about, you know, biking champ Lance Armstrong, who, of course, people will remember, was accused of doping, sort of resisted it for years, said people were unfairly accusing him of using performance-enhancing substances, and then Yep. Eventually had to admit that he was doing that. So we have a quote where he's talking to the person who's interviewing him for this documentary and trying to talk about, you know, how he's going to talk about his life. Let's just listen to this clip.
I'm not going to lie to you, Marino. I'm not. And I'm not saying that they will. But I'm going to tell you my truth, and my truth is not my version. My truth is the way I remember it.
Yeah. And so part of what's interesting to me about this documentary is that Lance Armstrong seems to either not want to understand or not want to publicly acknowledge is that once you admit a lie that big, you know, how can you possibly expect the public to trust you about anything? And I think the only way he's going to get to the point where people aren't sort of cursing him out in public, because he talks about that in the doc, the only way he's going to get to that point is if he figures out some way to sort of publicly show people that he recognized that those lies hurt a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these documentaries, of course, don't make up for our loss of sports at this moment in time, but they do seem to provide like this bit of narrative backstory, kind of 30 for 30 exactly as they are. That's what they are for people to kind of keep them a little bit entertained, at least folks like me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in talking about 30 for 30, one other thing I wanted to mention is that they have often been criticized for the lack of documentaries that they do about female athletes. And I do think it's important that if the sports media world is going to turn towards documentary until, you know, professional sports start to ramp up again, they're going to have to make an effort to be more equitable in the sports that they're portraying. And they're going to have to make an effort to take a look at female competitors.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the one thing that kind of bugs me about where we are right now on this, is that we're seeing a bunch of these documentaries come, and too many of them seem centered on males.
Yeah. That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.